Welcome to Sweet Tea and Strategy, a podcast by Ackerman Marketing and PR featuring business and community leaders throughout Tennessee, talking about issues and trends of importance to our state and beyond, and sharing some of their best sweet tea recipes and tea sipping stories. I'm Kathy Ackerman, and today we welcome Carol Evans, who heads up Legacy Parks Foundation, to Sweet Tea and Strategy. Carol, thanks for joining us
today. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we dive in, talking about all the amazing things that Legacy Parks is undertaking these days, tell us your very best sweet tea story. And first of all, do you even like sweet tea?
I was raised on sweet tea. So my parents are from Georgia. We were a family of five kids, an Army family. And so, you know, strict budget. So my parents didn't buy soft drinks. But I lived in California, Alaska, and New York, and always drank sweet tea. So we were the family with sweet tea, so we were a little bit foreign. So my mom made it the old-fashioned way, where she put at least a cup and a half of sugar, and you boiled the water on the stove and put the tea bags in it, and made amazing sweet tea, except that this is a phenomenon maybe somebody will know to see. Sometimes would make the tea and be making it, and she's getting ready to go on, and she will out, and she would have sprayed perfume on, right? And somehow the tea would taste like the perfume smelled. I don't even know how that occurs, but I didn't have the heart to tell her she'd ruined a whole batch of sweet tea.
That's so
with
funny.
That perfume. But yeah, so I was absolutely raised. And my daughter moved to Cincinnati, and the first phone call I got was, "Mom, they don't have sweet tea up here." And I said, "Well, you just crossed the line to being in the north."
Very
so
good.
It's like we were all raised on sweet tea. So this is a very appropriate.
And you made it for your kids.
Totally make. Yeah, still make sweet tea with lots and lots and lots of sugar.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Very good. So let's talk a little bit about Legacy Parks Foundation. Your organization is not brand new, but you have not been around for decades like many of our successful nonprofit organizations. Tell us a little bit about when Legacy Parks was founded and what the organization's overarching mission is.
We were founded, and I'm glad you said that. I was learned that the chamber is 150 years old, so we do feel young. I said, well, we've been around a while. It's about 2000, really chartered in 2005. Kind of had the first meetings in 2006, got kind of up and running in 2007. So I'd say we're 11, 12 years in terms of being an active organization, and really got founded around the thought of how do we enhance parks? How does the public participate in parks in terms of funding, in terms of donating land? And that was sort of the origin. We got traction very early on and sort of broadened what we do, and which is we say we raise land and money for parks, trails, and open space. But probably above that, we really sort of advocate for outdoor recreation, outdoor amenities, both as an economic driver for our region, but also in terms of conservation. So we think that recreation is a little bit of our backdoor way into land conservation, that if you get out on it and you play on it, you're going to appreciate it, you're going to want more of it. So we are at heart a conservation organization, but strong advocates for recreational use by all. So we really promote public access, and so where our niche has fallen into is creating public places, public spaces, and very close to home. We think close to home recreation is important, so we really have been very hyper-focused on Knoxville and Knox County, but now we're working pretty regionally on those close-to-home accessible parks and trails.
So why do you think the community has embraced your organization so quickly and so wholeheartedly?
Oh, I'm glad that. I hope they have. You know, I think we're very authentic to who we are in East Tennessee. I think we all live here, and for the reason we may not think of it every day or articulate it that, but it's an amazingly beautiful place to live. We have really incredible natural resources all around us every single day. You know, if you think about the urban 1,000 acres of green space that we look across from our downtown every day, we have a major river that runs through the heart of our city. We're surrounded by mountains, so I think we forget it. We don't realize, but it's sort of it is a part of why people live here, and so I think what we've been able to do was really heighten that both awareness but access. Mm-hmm. So now you can get in it and on it a little bit easier, and so if you wanted to do a bike ride or a hike or a paddle on your way home from work or on a Saturday morning, you can do that very easily, and I do think people appreciate that. They appreciate having something in their neighborhood or close to their neighborhood. And I think that we have a more active culture now, both with those of us who are on the baby boomer end of it, the far end. We, you know, if you look at sort of demographic, I think actually you did some of this research, which is you have active retirees right. that are healthy and fit and want those experiences. And then you have, you know, our kids that have their kids who want them active. They know the health side of that. So sort of on both ends of the age spectrum, we have people that want that. They don't necessarily know how and where, mm-hmm. and it's new to them. So what I think we have a little bit of a niche of introducing people to places that are accessible, that are new, that are doable. It's not extreme. It's not an extreme experience to go walk on a trail at Concord Park or at Sharps Ridge. I mean, you can do that, and you can do 2 or 3 miles and feel like you've done Everest, and that's great.
So how is Legacy Parks morphing? It seems like there have been some transitional points along the way, and talk about that a little bit.
I think probably significantly for us is that we are working more regionally. And we like to say we kind of work where we're invited in, because the community knows itself better than we do, but may not have the resources or the understanding of how to take full advantage of what they have. And that's where we've learned a bit in Knoxville, Knox County, is to kind of leverage your resources and people and places. And so we're working in Oak Ridge right now and helping them with a natural asset. I mean, Oak Ridge is an amazing city. They just are known for what they are not. I think there's a persona of them being sort of post-industrial, post-war, and gosh, you can't drive over there and not see just an abundance of green and trails and water. And so we're helping them kind of identify what they have and what they can do more with, and having sort of that same experience with a lot of our adjacent counties with a really, I think, wonderfully non-competitive sense. You know, there's more this collaborative sense of the counties that, you know, if you guys have great trails and we have great trails, what a great experience for everybody. It's not where that we're competing.
So talk about connectedness. You've spoken about that before, right, in terms of strategic connections and what a connected community could be.
Yes, right.
What does that really mean?
Well, I think what the Oak Ridge work has really led us to think about connectivity in probably four different ways, and really just put a name on it. We do. One is literally, so what are our opportunities for bike lanes and bike trails and greenways and really literally connected space? And the Knoxville to the Smokies Greenway is a great example of that, you know, really strong, great vision. It might be a 20-year project, but an incredible vision to be able to have a greenway from the heart of Knoxville right into the Smoky Mountains, and imagine what that occurs for all the communities along the way. So there's the literal connection, and then there's really the visual connection. So how do we get you from point A to point B so that you know the proximity? So it's through wayfinding, it's through green corridors, it's that visually I know I'm in a space that's connected to another, mm-hmm. and to really do regional wayfinding. So if I'm playing in Knoxville, what's there in Maryville to play? And so really get us in. And then there's the economic connection. So think about sports parks and sport venues where topography matters. So in Knoxville, we may not have much flat land available for a sports park, but wonder if there's that flat space in an adjacent county. How do we both benefit economically? How do we both market that space? So really that economic connection, let's have a regional mountain bike guide that guides you so you come to this area but you stay for 7 days rather than three. So sort of that economic connection around. And then I think you probably coined this, which is the emotional connection. So kind of grounding you to space so you connect to the history of a place, the culture of a place, so
the people place,
exactly. So, you know, when you talk about let's go to the urban wilderness has sort of its own persona now around what it is, and celebrating the people and the history and but that sort of connects you to that place. So, you know, I think those are all opportunities to look at what we do and create those connections.
So, what are some unique partnerships that you have formed to date and that you want to form in the future?
You know, I think I think out of necessity, sometimes we had a lot of partnerships, but we partner with, the hiking club and the biking club, but the health department and the TVA retirees who have skills that they bring out. We have a partnership with DOE, Department of Energy, which we never thought we would ever have that kind of, to think that they have land that they are happy for recreation to occur on. So that's a great partnership. And what's interesting to me is when we tend to partner with adjacent counties, and we tend to be partnering with their economic development arms as opposed to their parks departments. Right. So, you know, they're seeing the viability of what that might mean to workforce development and livability and all those things they know they need to be promoting.
So how does what you're doing impact economic development? How does it become a true economic driver?
Well, I think we're really fortunate. There's probably 10 years of studies that you can, and you see more and more of them on quality of life and what we do being defined as quality of life. So simple things like people will pay $9,000 more for a house near a park.
Right.
Your home is worth 25% more near within a mile. Playground near where within a mile of where a child lives increases their likelihood by 300% that they'll use.
That's amazing.
Parents that, so across, there's enough data. National Association of Realtors and Home Builders Association both have done studies that said greenways are one of the top three requested amenities when someone's looking for a home. So we're really lucky across both workforce, livability, health, individual preference. All of the statistics point to greenways, parks make a difference in where people choose to locate themselves or a business. And businesses now know they need to be where their employees want to live.
Right.
And
right.
So all, you know, in a conversation recently with a new chamber, the workforce is the critical issue right now. And so making people happy where they live, it's kind of a simple thing, but.
So is Legacy Parks transitioning the way people from outside our area think of our area, do you think?
I would love to think that we're a part of that.
Right.
I would love to think that, I know we had the CEO of REI come to Knoxville when they opened the store, and he must have said, I counted five times, Knoxville is a great outdoor town. Knoxville is an outdoor town. And
right. And
we hear that sort of anecdotally, people coming in and out. Knoxville is a great outdoor city. And so I do think we are transitioning to being known for that. Now we can do more. We can do more and more to promote that. But I do think, and I'd like to say we have a little bit of swagger now about ourselves,
right,
that we are
right.
that. And we're, you hear sort of more and more people can talk about what we have here. But I do think there's a different sense, definitely in certain parts of the community, but I think there is a definite sense difference in how we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Are there benchmark communities or cities out there that we look at and say there are things there that we want to be like?
Yes, and I think we used to secretly say it's sort of the Boulder East initiative that we want to be.
Yes.
And I think the fact that Chattanooga has been, but it's funny, people will come up from Chattanooga, leaders from Chattanooga that will come up and say, gosh, you've got way more going on here than we do, and make way more potential
right. By
the proximity and the really close-in amenities that we have. Different, Chattanooga's got trails, but you kind of drive, it's on the perimeter of a city, which is more normal. They now have Stringer's Ridge, which is in an area, but still we probably, in terms of raw product, they would say we have more. Yes. And I don't know that anything we're doing is striving to be like, it's sort of been very authentic.
Discovering our own identity.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Making sure that people understand what we have here.
Yes. And I think we set out to do certain things and we had wonderful results. So when we set out to do the urban wilderness, it was not with the intent of increasing housing prices, or now there are 15 new businesses along the trail, and it's happened,
right.
And it happened because of that. But we didn't set out to do it. But it is sort of
bubbled up.
It is. It's not the if you build it, they will come.
Yes,
feel
yes.
the dreams. But it has occurred for us that way, and now we're working up in the Powell community, and they have. we're working. I would like to say we're working alongside the Powell community because they have unbelievable energy up there around Beaver Creek and paddling this creek that runs through right through the heart of that community. But they feel already the success of that, and it's a creek. But it is, you know, what it's doing and how transformative it's being for bringing the community together and rallying around and community events. So you know, I think what happened in South can be replicated in terms of that kind of sort of four-dimensional benefits between both recreation but economic.
So Legacy Parks has many different initiatives that are going on simultaneously.
Yes.
What is the most exciting thing that you're working on right now?
Probably for us. I don't know that I can say. I think I gave a report yesterday. I had 8 exciting things. So we have 8 favorites. In general, I love that we can make somebody, that we can help things come to fruition that neighbors and communities have thought about. So, the Beaver Creek one is exciting because they've been thinking about that for quite a while. We got a small trail easement in Oak Ridge. Well, it was not a difficult thing for us. They've been trying to make that happen for 6 years. So, you know, our unique ability to make those things happen that other people have envisioned. I think that's the reward of what we do every time we do one of those. So the Oak Ridge work is great because, you know, we're a little bit telling them things they we'll reflect back basically what they know about themselves, but to be able to say and here's what you do with it.
Right.
That's the, you know, the teams that we're able to put together that can help shape that. But it's, you know, it's generally based on vision that someone who lives in a community has.
So 5 years from now, if you look back at what Legacy Parks has done, what would you want this place to look like as a result of Legacy Parks' work?
Yeah. I think for us, it's really these opportunities throughout the region and people taking sort of full advantage of them. So what is your strength in Jefferson County? You know, they have amazing river system there. So that everyone knows how and is working to take sort of full advantage, and that the conversation about these amenities is very integrated. And I think we've talked about that opportunity. So it's not sort of either or, but it's so as we look at business growth, as we look at infrastructure, as we look at new roads and new subdivision, this is always a consideration. So we're going to do a new subdivision. Gosh, let's think about a connection. Let's think about green space. Let's think. So we really retain what is important to us. I mean, the ridges and the valleys and the trees and the forests and the river, they're very, very, they are the reason we all live here.
Right.
If we're not a little more mindful about that, they won't be. And then we won't be living in the place we want to live in. And so it's not an either or, it's just sort of integrating how we approach things and make sure that we value that as much as we value a new road or a new subdivision.
Legacy Park seems to have such a non-scarcity mentality about what you do. That it seems like what makes everything really click is the ability to give credit where it's due, to pull new players in, to let them have voice in terms of the planning and the execution of projects, and for Legacy Parks to be sort of an aggregator of ideas and of people who have wonderful thoughts about how we can do the kind of preservation and conservation work that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I think we love to think we're a great dot connector, and part of it is I really know what I don't know.
That's
I don't, you know, to for me to rattle off about a riparian zone is pretty amusing to people who've known me a long time. So, but we have so many, there are people that know that, and there are people that are just passionate about it. So, you know, there's nothing more fun than putting the right people together that, and so we do, you're right. We work with a huge diversity of individuals and groups, and we're shameless about asking for donations of time and relying on a lot of experts to do that. And then just listening to the people that live there. I mean, they know their neighborhood, they know their community. So just listening to them a little bit and reflecting that back.
So what is your proudest moment?
Oh gosh, I don't know that. I think being around. I mean, you know, the thought that we started in donated office space with a laptop computer and I would say probably my proudest moment is if I'm out somewhere and I hear somebody say something about us.
Yes.
Or say something about our project. And I've been in those where you're standing and you're hearing somebody describe something we've done, and it's like hearing somebody brag on your child or
yes,
your puppy,
yes.
You know? And so that's probably when, you know, it's when someone can talk about you better than you can talk about yourself. And you're like, okay, we're out there.
Perfect.
Which is good to know. Yeah.
Perfect. So is there anything else you want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh gosh. I think the one, what people don't realize is how small we are. So just
right.
to be very, you know, and so to create expectations we have,
mm-hmm.
but we, you know, we're two full-time, two part-time, less than part-time people. So we're very small.
Amazing.
Small organization. Incredible board, so very, very, very strong board. Very strong, active board. No, exactly. We talked about how we get work done. It's like I have 25 consultants all day long. So, and they all get called all day long. But it is a very small organization. So, we take on a lot, and we're happy to do it. And but we need people's support, and sometimes we need their patience because we are small.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, yes.
And that would probably be the only thing that we don't talk much about is
yes.
that where we are. We stretch resources incredibly, but we're small.
Carol, thank you for joining us
today.
We appreciate your insights, your enthusiasm, and what you're doing to make it easier for all of us here to be able to live, work, and play in an absolutely gorgeous place.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. I feel lucky every day to do this.
Thanks for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.